and you and I are disciples of Jesus. And we need to accurately hear God, hear the voice of God. And where do you hear that?
Well, you can hear it with your physical ears, that's possible, but you also always can hear it in your spirit or in your heart where the Holy Spirit lives.
And everybody that I know of wants to hear God. But those who call themselves disciples, who are born again, who closely follow Jesus, we need to know the voice of God. And the worse the world gets, and the more problems we're having in our world, the more we are in need of hearing the voice of God. And we need to hear it on a regular basis. Otherwise, how do you follow somebody you can't see if you can't hear them? So the Bible states very clearly that my sheep, that's each one of us, hear my voice. That's in John chapter 10. Also in John, it not only says, do my sheep hear my voice, it says my sheep recognize my voice. We know it's his voice. And then it says, thirdly, and that's a tough one, my sheep obey what they hear. They obey my voice. So here's the fact. You hear God's voice. That's biblical fact, because I believe the Bible, not your experience. The reality is, most Christians don't believe that they've heard his voice. So, fact, God's word says you hear his voice. Experience, we're not so sure that's true. The number one reason most Christians, most disciples of Jesus, don't hear the voice is because they have limitations as to what God can speak to them about. So you put God in a box, I put God in a box, and he can only speak to me about certain things. And so we have a set agenda, and God must speak within those boundaries or those parameters, or else we don't hear him. He doesn't limit himself to speaking within the box. But because we have limited him, and he speaks out here, outside the box, outside our boundaries, outside our limitations, where we're really not wanting to hear him speak, we don't. It doesn't mean he's not speaking, we just don't hear him. Because he's speaking out there, and we want him to speak in here. So I believe that everyone wants to hear from God, until he wants you to possibly get off the boat and become somebody's lunch. We want to hear from God until he sends us into dangerous places to tell other people about Jesus, like Main Street, Oxford. You don't think it's dangerous? Go talk to somebody about Jesus and find out how dangerous it is. I just came back from Kazakhstan. Before that, we were in Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan. And it's becoming more and more dangerous in those nations. In fact, I just got an email today about some things that are happening with our people in Russia. And some of them are just being arrested. The KGB is very active in all those nations and is removing Christians and the Christian presence in many places. But God keeps speaking to people to go to those places. And they're not listening. Because it isn't safe and it isn't comfortable. And it isn't secure. So it's outside our box. If you ask pastors anywhere in North America, church leaders, what questions they are most asked, the most frequent question they are asked is, how do I hear God's voice? That's top of the list, all the time, every time. You see, if you can't hear God's voice, then you don't know the direction God has for your life. You don't get guidance from God. You cannot receive a word from God about your future. Hearing God and hearing his voice is very absolutely essential to being a disciple of Jesus. When you got born again, he gave you the supernatural ability to have a relationship with the living God. And you cannot have a relationship with somebody who you cannot talk to and hear. So it's very critical, if we're going to follow him in these end times, and most of us want to do that, it's very critical that we hear his voice and hear it clearly and hear it frequently and hear it accurately. So here's the fact. If you're born again, you hear the voice of God. Here's the actuality. Most Christians do not believe they hear God's voice, and the reason is because disciples have created a safe area into which God can speak, and they do not hear him if and when he speaks outside the safe zone. That's the whole point of this teaching. We only hear when God speaks within the box and the limitations that we have created for him. So I think the truth is most disciples really don't want to hear God. They want to hear God approve what they're doing, but they don't want to hear God. And
I raised six kids, six teenagers at once. We didn't go to the circus. We were one, obviously. And we had something we call selective hearing. They only heard what they wanted to hear. And most times it was only after the decibels of my wife's voice were raised to a certain level, and they kind of knew the next step was we're in trouble. We have selective hearing. We only hear what we want to hear. And because God doesn't always speak what we want him to speak, we don't hear him. Same problem my kids had. I know your kids were perfect, but mine weren't. Mine are not. They're still not. So we limit our ability to hear God, and thus we don't hear him very frequently. So, where in the Bible do you see someone who's glad to hear God's voice? Where in the Bible do we hear or see someone who's glad to hear God's voice and get God's direction for their life? Where in the Bible is someone told something they really wanted to hear? The answer? I can't find one. God gave Adam and Eve one single simple command. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree over there. And it quickly became evident that it was the one command they did not want to hear and did not want to obey. Noah was asked to build a large boat when it seemed no boat was necessary because there was no water, there'd be no rain, and it subjected him to public embarrassment, something he didn't want to hear. God's plan for Joseph was that he would become a ruler of a big nation, a big empire. However, that was 13 years in the future, and he was going to spend 13 years in prisons, being misunderstood, being rejected, being misaligned, being misrepresented, being lied to. Not exactly something you want to hear. Moses was asked to be God's stuttering spokesman. Did you notice Moses had a stutter? He didn't talk right. And he was supposed to go and defy the most powerful man in the world by leading the Israelites out of slavery out of Egypt. Now there's a job everybody's always wanted. Do you think he really wanted that job? No, he said, send him. Gideon received the assignment to lead a couple of hundred men into battle against a couple of thousand. Gotta love those odds. Where in the Bible did somebody hear God's voice and heard something they wanted to hear? God told Isaiah to walk around town completely naked for 3 years. I don't care how secure you are in your body, that is not something you're going to want to hear. That's not number one on your to-do list before you die. Ezekiel was told to lay on his side in the middle of town for 430 days and when hungry to cook his food over human poop. There are lots of women. Wait, we're coming to them. You've ever cooked your food over human poop? Anybody take a college course on cooking food over human poop? Not something I'd want to hear. God spoke to Hosea and commanded him to marry a prostitute who would repeatedly commit adultery and have children with other men. Thank you, God. That's always what I've been dreaming about since I was a little boy. Saul was in the middle of searching for lost donkeys when God's messenger anointed him to be the first king of Israel. The idea of king may sound like a lot of fun to you, but it wasn't to him. Little David felt led to take on a giant, 1-1, in a battle.
Mary was an honorable virgin, pledged to be married. God told her she would become pregnant out of wedlock. That'll do a lot for your reputation in a small town. The 11 remaining apostles after Judas's betrayal were all martyred for Jesus. Some of them were told ahead of time they would be, Peter being one. Stephen gave a speech for Jesus and got him stoned to death. Paul was obeying God's call in his life when he was beaten and left for dead numerous times. God had warned him that he would suffer. Serious. When did somebody get an assignment from God that they went, oh great, I always wanted to do that? And somehow we've gotten the idea that God will speak and tell us all the wonderful things he's going to do to bless us and to prosper us. And I don't see that in the Bible. So here's your truth. God's plan for our lives is amazing, exciting, wonderful, and awesome. But it typically appears to be something you don't want to do. You know, we look to people, if you're with us on the streets, we used to look to people and say, God has a wonderful plan in your life. Yeah, you might be a martyr for the faith someplace in another country, but in God's eyes, that's a wonderful plan for your life. Except you don't think it is. So you don't want to hear it. So most of us as disciples do not hear God's voice regularly because he's not speaking the things we want him to hear. We want to hear. He's not speaking to us within the acceptable box that we have created where we want him to speak. Fix me, help me, guide me, prosper me, bless me, care for me, give me. So it's not that he's not speaking. It's just we're limiting the things we want to hear. And we ignore everything else. So I was a non-believer, like you at one time, minding my own business. In fact, I was in the business world making more money then than I do now, 45 years later. And God spoke to me and called me into the ministry. Seminary was the furthest thing from my mind. Seriously, it was the last thing on my list of things to do. I was an Easterner, and when I graduated from seminary, I had several parishes inviting me to come and work for them. You know, in normal places like Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal. And God said, go west, young man. And I ended up in the town of Ogama, downtown, metropolitan and suburban Ogama. Keep your eyes open, you'll miss it. 317 people if you count the chickens. I was a priest with a decent income and great security when God appeared and healed me physically, emotionally, spiritually, and told me that I would be leaving the security of a denomination with a salary and a house and the furniture and a tremendous pension. And that I'd be doing something new. Didn't tell me what the new would be. No guarantee of support, no security, and no pension. I didn't want to hear that. I was comfortably pastoring a non-denominational church that I still have a part of when God spoke and told me that I was called to be an apostle and that he would open doors to many nations that I would minister in for many years. I'm getting old, and I'm still doing it. 17 countries so far, with two new ones coming in February. That wasn't something I wanted to do. Listen, I'd never taken a holiday. I don't like traveling. I don't like leaving home. I like being in my house. I don't want to see any other place. I'm not interested in another country. I could care less that it exists. Until God spoke. All of my children live in the same town I live in. They're all 5 minutes from my refrigerator. All of my grandchildren. And I'm not home 10 months of the year. Those were not things I wanted to do. That was not what I wanted to hear God say. And they were not on my bucket list, which I hate that word because that means you're about to kick the bucket. Now, skydiving is on my bucket list. Scuba diving is on my bucket list. free falling out of an airplane is on my bucket list. Putting one of those suits on and going down off the side of a mountain is on my bucket list. But doing all these things, no way. When I first discovered, 6 years after I got ordained, that Jesus really is God, and that Jesus really is alive, and that Jesus really is Lord, Master, Ruler, Controller, not just Savior, I said something that I've never regretted. I said to Jesus, whatever you ask me to do, the answer is yes. Before you ask, before I know any details or even the big picture, the answer is yes. Whatever you ask me to do for the rest of my life, the answer is yes. And since that day, I've heard his voice. Because he knows I'll say yes. In other words, I either made such a big box, or I just blew up the box, so that no matter what God is saying, I do hear it. I know in my heart. I don't hear audibly. I wished I did. I know in my heart when God is saying something. And I believe that that's what he wants from all of us. Just make up your mind that whatever it is you hear God say, you will do. The answer is yes, before you know the question. And then you will begin to hear God accurately, regularly, and often. So, my point is, most of us, when we hear God's voice, we're hearing things we don't want to hear. But in reality, it is God's plan for your life. And if you would just say yes to it, it would take you places maybe you don't want to go, but places that are really helpful and beneficial to you. So my question really is, do you really want to hear God? Or are you just wanting to be safe, comfortable, and secure? Because when God speaks and calls you to follow him, he's going to lead you to dangerous places. And I think some of this in your notes. Places where you will discover who you really are. It's amazing the people I talk to who have no clue who they are in Jesus Christ. Who he created them to be. You'll go to places where you will need to deal with critical issues in your life. Because he's going to take you on a journey inside first. You'll go to places where you feel that you're over your heads, beyond your abilities. And that's good, because then you're going to rely on him and trust in him. And not in your own skills. He's going to take you to places where you'll be challenged and stretched. Places where you'll be in trouble if God does not show up and help. Now, most of us didn't sign up for that. When I got saved, everybody said, well, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And it's going to be comfortable and safe and secure and prosperous. And that's incredible. It sounded really good. And God does have a wonderful plan for your life. Maybe to be a martyr, some faraway place. Maybe to see the whole world, to preach Jesus while you're doing it. When God speaks, he calls us to embark on an adventure, to dare to dream big dreams, to take audacious risks, and to grab hold of life and live it to its fullest. Listen, if Christianity is boring, if this is it, I want life to. Following God is not boring. Following the leading of the Spirit is not boring. It's an adventure of a lifetime. We are serving, following, worshiping, working for the God of the universe. Think about that. That's exciting. If you hear his voice. It's very frustrating if you don't. Often when God speaks, whatever it is he's saying will not make sense to you, because you listen with your head and you're thinking rationally. And I have found that although God is not a God of confusion and he is a God of order, he doesn't always do things rationally. When God speaks to you, if you are hugging your comfort and your safety and your security, you will not do what he asks you to do. Because whatever it is he asks you to do will not allow you to be comfortable. It will not sound safe, and it will definitely not sound secure. But I've discovered, and maybe it's just because I'm almost 70, that being safe, secure, and comfortable is boring. Seriously boring. And life is too short to be bored. So God wants us to be put by Him in difficult situations, surrounded by adverse circumstances, so that we will learn to have a vital reliance and a trust in Him. You don't know how to trust God until you're in a place you don't know what to do. Then we learn how to trust Him. And I'm told that the KGB are at the door because the buzzer just rang, and I have 30 seconds to disappear behind that curtain, out that door, and down those stairs, and into a waiting car. I've got to trust that I can follow what God is telling me to do and go. There's this vital relationship you have when you're out of your safety zone. Amen? God's going to lead us to places where we need Him, seriously need Him. And we don't hear His voice often because we don't want to hear Him, because He's going to disturb our world. So, God says to the disciples, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. And their initial reaction when the storm appears is fear instead of faith. And always, our initial reaction will be fear instead of faith. What should be your response to fear? Look at God. Look to God. And have faith in what He can do. So God is going to put us in circumstances which will often cause us to have fear. Like the disciples had fear in the storm. Hey, if seasoned fishermen are fearing the storm and it's going to sink with them on it, that was genuine fear. And Jesus talks about faith. Just have faith. So He's going to put us, who listen to His voice, in circumstances where there will be fear, so that you will respond in faith. That's how He's going to grow your faith. In Him. Of course, the option to not doing that is to live a boring life. Okay, so God, when He speaks, wants us to take risks. And that's why the most often repeated command in the whole Bible is, fear not. How many times does fear not appear in the Bible? 365. How many days in a year? 365. I think God knew our initial reaction to almost everything would be fear. And always He says, fear not. You see, faith, John Wimber taught us this many years ago. John Wimber said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. For those of you who missed that, that's risk. When you begin to risk your life, risk safety, risk security and comfort, it's then that faith arises because of the fear that that insecurity will bring you. And so you'll see in your notes in dark print, we all want to live risk-free. God wants us to live free to risk. You see, when God puts you and me in a situation where it is impossible for us to succeed, then He shows up and He gets the glory. If God just puts you in a situation where your own abilities, education, talent, experience, wisdom can get you out of that situation, then God doesn't get the glory. So God wants you in places that are not safe and secure and comfortable, so that you look to Him and other people looking at you will look to Him. Henry Blackaby is a Baptist, good Baptist, used to pastor in Saskatoon many years ago. He wrote, some people say God will never ask me to do something I can't do. I've come to the place in my life that if the assignment I sense God has given me is something that I know I can handle, I know it is probably not from God. The kind of assignment God gives in the Bible are always God-sized. They are always beyond what people can do, because He wants to demonstrate His nature, His strength, His provision, and His kindness to His people and to a watching world. This is the only way the world will come to know Him. So, God has a wonderful plan for our lives, but it probably means putting you in a difficult situation and circumstance where you don't have the ability to get yourself out of it. He calls us to risk because he knows that we will experience fear, hoping that we'll choose to live in faith. What he tells us may not be what we want to hear, but what he tells us is his will for our lives. And when he speaks, all we need to do is trust him and obey him. Come on, some of you old enough to know the hymn. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we trust and obey, this wonderful and powerful and awesome plan for your life will come to pass. David followed God's plan for his wife and got to chop off Goliath's head. John the Baptist followed God's plan for his wife and got his head chopped off. But they both followed God's plan. They both heard God. And God's plan will seldom leave you secure and comfortable and safe. Remember John Perkins and his wife sailing around the coast of Africa? They knew God had called them to go to Africa, but they didn't know where. But they were following the voice of God in spite of the fact that there was a lot of unknowns in the voice and what the voice had said. And as the steamship made its way around the northwest coast of Africa through Garraway Bay, John and his wife sensed God speaking and telling them this is where they were to get off. And the captain said, no, we can't put you off here because you won't come back. You'll be dead. The Perkins didn't know what I'm about to tell you. It's always easier in hindsight. But they did convince the captain to let them off the ship. And the captain ended up putting all their belongings in a small boat, and a small boat rowed them to shore and then quickly departed. What the Perkins didn't know was that there was a young man living in that region named Jasper Toe. And he believed that there was a God, but had never heard the name of Jesus. There were no missionaries, no one to tell them about the story. And one night, Jasper Toe looked into the moonlit sky and he thought out loud, if there is a God in heaven, help me find you. And then he heard a voice. A voice he had never heard before, and the story doesn't tell us whether it was inside or audible. The voice said, go to Garraway Bay Beach, and you will see a box on the water with smoke coming out of it. And from that box on the water will come some people in a smaller box. These people in that smaller box will tell you how to find me. It took Jasper Toe 7 days to walk to Garraway Beach. He arrived Christmas Day, 1908, and from the shore he saw what appeared to be a black box with smoke coming out of it, and it was floating on the water. And that was the moment John Perkins and his wife sensed God speaking to them, saying, get off the boat, this is your destination. The captain refused their request, and they refused to take no for an answer. So John Perkins and his wife and all their belongings were put into a canoe, and they were rowed to the beach. When they arrived, Jasper Toe was waiting for them, and he motioned for them to follow him, and they did. They walked in silence for days, 7 days, because they couldn't speak each other's language. And they followed him back to his village, which became their new home. Perkins learned their language, and they led Jasper Toe to Jesus, so that he found the God he was looking for. And together they started a church in that village. And eventually, Jasper Toe started over 300 other churches in Liberia, get the country right. And all of that happened because the Perkins and Jasper Toe really did want to hear from God, no matter what God had to say, and no matter where it took them. They were willing to obey, regardless of what God asked them to do. So my question is, what about us?
What about us?
Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. That means change, adjust.
adjustment, discomfort. Like a piece of clay in the potter's hand, you want to go back to Jeremiah, and you know, he doesn't quite like what he did, pushes it down and starts it up again. I think I've been punched down a few times and started up fresh.
Are we listening? Really, are we listening outside the box? Are we trusting? Are we obeying? No one can answer that for you. Only you can answer that. Because on the outside it can look good, and on the inside it could be a little rotten. Are you on the adventure that God planned for your life? And if you're not, what are you waiting for? If He is truly sovereign Lord in your life, then He's asking you to joyfully follow Him and fulfill His plan for your life. So all I'm suggesting tonight is if you have a box, remove it. Remove the barriers. Get rid of the boxes. Allow God to speak in any area of your life that He wants to speak. Allow God to speak in every area of your life. Let God open up all the possibilities that are there because you're a Christian. Don't limit Him in any way by approaching a relationship with Him with your own agenda. If you have an agenda, you won't know His. And like Jesus, whom you follow, just pray. Listen, what did Jesus pray in the garden? The thing that God wanted was very difficult. He's been dying on the cross. And He prayed, "Not my..." And He knew, He heard the Father's voice. God doesn't always say what you want Him to say. And Jesus said, "Not my will, but Your will be done." That's all we got to do. Just follow the lead of the man that we follow.
So I'm going to ask you to do something I don't think I've ever asked you to do. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer, the traditional version, the one we all know in the back of our heads. And listen to the words that you're going to pray. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. We prayed that. I wonder if we actually listened. I prayed it for years. I wonder if we actually listened to those words. What is God's will? What is our part in God's kingdom? So I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. We're going to pray it in the old King James Version. So, all right? A little longer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Oh God, listen for His voice, move the barriers, boxes. That's the number one reason we don't hear God's voice. There is a number two. We'll talk about that next time.
Good. The offering plate is at the back. If you brought your tithes